the word ger, where it occurs in the Tanakh, in almost all the places where it occurs in the Tanakh, the word ger does not have anything to do with conversion or converts, but simply means non-resident alien. And the concept of conversion or a convert, in, at least in the formal sense, is hard to pin down anywhere in Tanakh. But the ideology for it we find in Yeshayahu and in other, and in the later Nevi'im, who proclaim the notion of Judaism as a universal faith, and all peoples who and that general ideology, although it was not connected as far as we could see with any formal procedures. We then last week analyzed the 500 years or 600 years from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah until the time of Chazal. And what we saw there was that the Jewish communities, on the one hand, at the beginning of this period, were dispersed within one governmental bureaucracy. For a period of time, it was the Persian Empire, and then it was conquered by Alexander, but the actual rulers at the very top don't matter much. There was a certain universal legal system, more or less. As far as commercial dealings were concerned, there was sort of a common legal language. Aramaic was sort of widespread during the beginning of that period, and then Greek in the latter part of that period. That for various reasons, combining the fact that Judaism did not have sacrificial worship anywhere except in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the form of its religious practice was that of the drosha in the various synagogues in the dispersion, and the fact that it represented a monotheistic religion as opposed to the myths and polytheistic beliefs in the Greek and other worlds, which were proving more and more unsatisfactory to their intellectual classes. So there was a period of time in which, indeed, Judaism as a philosophy was attractive to the broad community, and whereas on the one hand Geirut, conversion as we know it as a formal thing, maybe didn't really exist in any serious sense until the time of Ezra. We don't know too much about what was happening in the following 200 years. We do know that there was an explosion of converts, of conversions to Judaism, of proselytism and so on that was taking place in the Hellenistic world from perhaps 250 BC until the Churban HaBayis, and maybe a little bit later. There was an enormous growth in Jewish population from under 200,000 to over 8 million in a period of time that could not be explained in any way on the basis of natural increase. There were no other. And as Bickerman points out, one of the triumphs of the Maccabees was not merely the fact that they rejected Hellenism, which of course was their first initial triumph, but that they also came to terms with it, and that Judaism, the Jews and the Romans, as Bickerman puts it, were the only peoples that survived the onslaught of Hellenism past that period. The Romans, because they militarily conquered the Hellenistic world, and the Jews, because they were able to absorb the more forward-looking elements of Hellenism into our culture and accommodate it and did not become ossified. So there was a threat of extinction and or ossification, that is, being overwhelmed or being ossified, the two alternatives of complete outright acceptance and complete outright rejection. And one of the outcomes of this was the survival of the Jewish people as we know it today, and a massive period of conversion. When we get to the time of Chazal, you have to, for example, as we saw last time, the word proselyte itself, which was something that was introduced as a new word in the Targum HaShivim. It was sort of a word that was coined for this particular purpose and didn't exist in Greek before, was utilized by the Targum, by the translators, as for this new concept of someone who comes over into our religion. And we spent a lot of time last time looking at the actual texts in Josephus and in Philo to get a picture of what these things were all about before the time of Chazal. When we reach the the period of Chazal. This is now after a massive immigration, if you want to use that word, conversion process. There's sort of a period in which the rules themselves have to be formalized, and there may be a little bit of a reaction against this massive period. So we will find massive conversions. So we will find in Chazal that there's a certain amount of ambivalence towards the concept, the idea of conversion as a whole. Is it, for example, is it a mitzvah? Is there a particular mitzvah attached to converting someone? We understand that if someone comes to convert, and we'll read the texts in the Gemara in a minute, the various rules and regulations, but is there a mitzvah attached? The Gemara in Yevamos, we'll read through the main body of the text of the Gemara in Yevamos in a minute, says, Kibel malin oto miyad. If the prospective geir, after you've questioned him and asked him what his motives are, and made some attempts at dissuading him to be sure that this wasn't a rash decision, if after all of these discouraging attempts have been taken place, he still insists that he wants to convert, then the Gemara says that you perform mila immediately. When the Gemara asks, my taima, what's the rush? Why does it say miyad? And the Gemara answers, shiui mitzvah lo mishayina, that we do not postpone the performance of a mitzvah. So therefore, obviously, the Baal HaMemra there is of the opinion that the conversion of the ger is in itself a mitzvah. Otherwise, there shouldn't be any commandment not to delay. On the other hand, in that very same passage, there's one of the famous quotes in the Gemara. It's mentioned four times in Shas, maybe more, but I know four places in Shas where it's mentioned by Rabbi Chevo, who says, Koshim gerim li Yisrael kisapachas, that the gerim are difficult to us like a skin cancer, like a scab or a sore or a skin cancer. If one wanted to be brutally translate the pun as a pun, it would be that we would say, like Reb Chelbo, that the gerim are bad to us like appendicitis. If you're adding them as an appendix to the Jews, we're suffering from appendicitis from having too many gerim. I mean, that would be an attempt to translate the pun as a pun. He says that because it says, V'nilva hager aleihem v'nispuchu al Beit Yaakov, and there, of course, it simply means that they're added to, joined to, attached to Beit Yaakov, and he's saying that this is like a growth on your skin, which is attached to your skin. So this is sort of a rather negative attitude towards Gerut. And you find a repetition of this form of a negative attitude a little later on in the Gemara in Yevamos, where it says, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai dechtiv ra yarua ki arev zar. What is the meaning of this passage in Nishle, which says that it's bad, evil, after evil comes to those, to whatever Yarev Zar is? He interprets that ra'a acha ra'a tavo, that evil after evil will come to Makablei Gerim, like Reb Chelbo. And Tosfos already on that Gemara is a little upset with this negative attitude towards conversion. So let's read the Tosfos. Ra'a acha ra'a tavo l'makablei gerim, Tosfos says, Amari, dahainu hecha shemesi'im oto l'itgayer. This is an attack on propaganda, on proselytizing, going out and trying to raise converts. That is what Reb Yitzchak is against. Oh, shemakablim oto miyad, or in a case where you accept the ger immediately without trying to dissuade him. Aval imhe mitamtzin lehitkayer, if they persist in their desire to be converted, yesh lanu lekablam, then it's our obligation to accept them. Sharei matzinu shenanshu Avraham Yitzchak veYaakov shelo lekiblu letimna shebatal lehitkayer v'halcha v'hayta pilegesh la'alifaz ben Esav v'nafak minei Amalek titzarinu liYisrael. And similarly, Vigam Yehoshua, Kibel, Rachav Hazonav, and Amav, Avutam Oedia, Uvoresh Perak, Lamem Ablikin, the famous two stories with Hillel, Someone came to Hillel after having seen the procession of the Kohen Gadol and said, I want to become a Jew so that I can become a Kohen Gadol. And nevertheless, he was converted by Hillel. And then even more famous story, that someone came to Shammai and to Hillel and asked them to convert them on condition that he teach them the Kol HaTorah Kula Regalachas. These two cases didn't seem to be people who were overly persistent in trying to become converts. Nevertheless, Hillel converted them. That seems to contradict our current Gemara. Hillel was able to see into their inner motivation and find that they would eventually become true converts. So Tosfos tries to say that the distinction is between active proselytizing, which is condemned, and the acceptance of a true convert who comes under his own free motivation, which is promoted. But as we saw last time, this does not represent really a true picture of what was happening before the time of Chazal, because we know that Jews were going out and actively proselytizing. It wasn't merely an issue of people coming but of to buy the wares, but there was also people going out and selling the product. So that I think we simply have to accept that what there is an ambivalence on the part of Chazal towards the whole issue of converts, and it's sort of perhaps an understandable reaction after 300 years of massive conversion. Now let's actually take a look at the Gemara. What I plan to do tonight is to go through three or four of the important texts and try to draw one or two minor conclusions, but just that we have seen these texts once when we come back to study them in detail in a couple of weeks in the context of current issues. Itma. Tana Rabbanan. Ger shebalit gayer b'zman hazeh. There should be another chair in the... Shebalit gayer. Why have you come to convert? If he says, I know that the Jews are in a terrible situation, but nevertheless, I'm not deserving to become a Jew, you accept him immediately. You let him know some of the a selection of light of mitzvot and a selection of the difficult mitzvot. And you let him know all of the charitable contributions that a Jew is obligated to make. And you also tell him the punishment that comes to someone who violates the commandments. And we will have a yodea, sha'ad bel shalobat alamid azu achalta chelev, iata anush karet. Up until now, if you ate the forbidden fat, you would not be chayev karet. Chilalta shabbat, iata anush skila. You wouldn't be liable to a death penalty if you violated shabbat. Yachshav achalta chelev anush karet, chalta shabbat anush skila. However, you don't paint a thoroughly black picture of what it's like to be a Jew. And you don't make all of this discussion overly long. You don't make it into an undue burden. The aim of Dr. Kinalah. And you don't investigate him too much. Kibel, if he accepts all the things that you're saying, in other words, he nevertheless, what Kibel means that he wants to accept the burdens of Judaism, he is willing to undertake this. Malino tomiyad, you immediately perform Brit Milah. Nishtayru bo tzitzina ma'akvinat ha'milah, chozvinu malino toshniya. If he had already been circumcised, for example, but it was not a circumcision that was completely valid according to Jewish law, you do a repeat performance to bring the Brit Milah up to the standards of the halacha. Nitrape,
after he, after the wound has been healed, matpilim ato miyad, you immediately put him into the mikvah. Ushnei talmidei chachamim omdim al gabav, omodim oto mitzat mitzvot kalot umitzat mitzvot chamulot. Taval va'Allah, once he's gone to the mikvah and has come out of the mikvah, harei hu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav. He is now a complete Jew. The process of conversion has been completed when he comes out of the mikvah. Isha, if it's a woman, nashim moshivin oto b'mayim ad tzavara, ushnei talmidei chachamim omdim lo mibachutz, omodim oto mitzat mitzvot kalot umitzat mitzvot chamulot. Echad geir v'echad eved meshukhar, v'umakom shenida tovelet sham geir v'eved u'meshukhar toveli. We will come to the laws of an eved in detail next week in the Yetzer Hashem, but what he's saying is that the mikvah that's required for this is the same mikvah that's required for a nida, and it's the same mikvah required for a geir. V'chol davar shechol tzeitz b'tvila, chol tzeitz b'yeh, u'v'eved meshukhar u'v'nida. And anything that interferes with the access of the water to the skin, but any such barrier applies in all three cases. Amar mao, geir shebol itgayer, omrim lo mara ita shebatal itgayer, modim lo mitzat mitzvot kalot u mitzat mitzvot chamulot, my time up. What is the reason for this lengthy discussion? The iporish nifrosh, that if he decides not to, if he feels that he's dissuaded from becoming a convert, we also withdraw. And why do we want to have us to withdraw? The Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Kashim Geirim Li Yisrael Kisapachat Echti V'Nilveh HaGer Aleihem V'Nispukol Beit Yaakov. Umodigim Oto Avon Leket Shekho Peor Maser Ani. We tell him all of these laws that have to do with charitable contributions, my timer. אמר רבי חייא ואבא אמר רבי יוחנן, בנוח נהרג על פחות משווה פרוטה. According to non-Jewish law, there's a capital offense for stealing even less than a penny. Apparently, therefore, non-Jews are much more strict and less likely to give up on any of their financial holdings. They're going to be less likely to be charitable because they're more careful about a penny. And therefore, you tell him that if you convert and become a Jew, you can't be that careful about your pennies. You're going to have to give some of the money to charity. Okay? Ve'ein marvin alav, ve'ein medaktikin alav. Amar Rabbi Eliezer Maikra, how do we know that you don't push this discussion too far? Dichtiv, and now he quotes the story from Ruth, v'teva ki metametzet hila lechatita, v'tachda ledaber eleha. Once Noami saw that Ruth is persistent in returning to Yehuda with her, returning to her family with her, then she no longer tried to dissuade her. Amwala asir lam tchum Shabbat. She says to Ruth, we are not allowed to walk out of the city past a certain distance on Shabbat. So Ruth answers, Basher telchi elech. Asir lan yichud, we're not allowed to be found alone with a man. Ba'asher talini alim. Mafkidin an shesh meyot yud gimel mitzvot, amcha ami. Asur lan avodat kochavim ve'elokayach elokai. Arba mitot nimsurot lebetin, ba'asher tamuti amut. Beis kvarim nimsurot lebetin, v'sham yikaver. So after this short discussion of six items, miyad v'teir ki mitametzati v'gom. Okay. So the Gemara says, from this, the shortness of this discussion of Noami with Ruth, we see that we don't prolong the investigation of the potential geir all that much. Kibel malino tomiyad. The Gemara says, my time mashiru mitzvah lo mishtahina. Mishtahu bo tzitzin and makvinat emila kedifnan elu ha tzitzin makvinat emila basar chol peyat rova atara v'enu ochel betrumah v'amobiyo v'yavar v'amobiyo basar chol rova, etc. That's just technical details in the laws of Milan. Nitrapei matvilim oto miyad. Nitrapei in lo, nitrapei lo. My time on mishum de maya marzumako. Because the water can cause the wound to become inflamed. Ushnei talmidi chelchanim amum al gabar. Vaho amor abiyoch, chia amor abiyoch, and geir tzorich shlosha. You need three. You need a beis din for geir words, not simply two witnesses. Rabbi Yochanan Latana Tani Shlosha. Rabbi Yochanan said to the person that was reading these brises out before the students, change the word two to three. Taval va'Allah harehu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav, l'may hilchata. The Hadarbe, if this Ger who is converted then reverts to paganism, he decides that he wants to leave the Jewish fold, and then Umakadesh Bat Yisrael, Yisrael Mumakarin on Deva Kiddushin Kiddushin. In other words, once this Ger has gone through the official procedure of becoming a Jew, he can no longer leave Judaism.
So what happened?
He's considered as Yisrael Mumar. There are lots of Jews who also are not religious, but nevertheless they're considered as full Jews, so therefore if they contract marriage with a Jewish woman, the contract is considered as valid.
Doesn't the Ger see that nobody gets skila for being the Chal HaShavuos? Here we read to him supposedly the easy laws and so forth. He sees for himself that...
Well, we're trying to persuade him that this is a capital offense. This Shabbos is very serious for us, and even though nowadays you may not, in fact, or maybe never, did you ever really, in any serious amount, inflict the death penalty, nevertheless, it's a capital offense.
And that's what you hear a lot from Gerim now. You know, they see Jews do not observe this and this and this, and how come you put it all on the list of things that we have to observe to agree?
That's a central point, and we shall have to come... So the question is, let's try to deal with that particular topic, because that's obviously one of the central issues that we're going to have to come to grips with, and let's approach it gingerly. So now let's take a look at a Gemara which seems to indicate that a Ger has to sign on the dotted line for everything, right? Your question, basically. But we will see that the Gemara that we're now going to quote, my page 9, it's a Gemara from Bechoros, which is relevant to our current, to Mr. Weinstein's question and to our current discussion, but is basically dealing with another topic. And the mention of Gerus is somewhat accidental. And therefore we have to be a little bit careful as to what weight we attach to this as a source. The Mishnah in Bechoros is a Mishnah that we've read many times in the Shiurim, but in different contexts, and that has to do with the issues of reliability. The Mishnah says, "Hachashur al hashviyit eno chashur al hamaasrot, hachashur al hamaasrot eno chashur al hashviyit." There were times in which there were groups of people who kept all of the mitzvot, more or less, but were not so strict when it came to the laws of Shemitah. And there were other groups of people known as Amei Haaretz, who were not too strict when it came to the laws of Trumos u'Masot. And the Mishnah says that if someone is suspect of not keeping the Shemitah laws, that doesn't necessarily imply that he doesn't keep the Maaser laws, the laws of tithes. And vice versa, someone who's not so strict about the laws of tithes, that doesn't imply that he is not to be trusted when it comes to the laws of Shemitah. Hachashur al zeh v'al zeh chashur al hataharot. If you remember, if there was a period of time, some short window of time, really starting paradoxically around the Korban HaBayit, in which the laws of Tumah v'tahara, which originally were relating only to the Beit HaMikdash and to the Kohanim, were accepted by the broad group of people as applying to everyday life. They would be very strict about all of the laws of ritual purity and impurity, even though there was no obligation. We analyzed this in some detail when we were studying Chulin and various other places. Okay. So the Mishnah says to reach this class of belief, namely that you're going to keep all of the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, even though they're not obligatory strictly, then certainly someone who doesn't keep the laws of Shemitah or keep the laws of Tumah of Ma'asos is not to be trusted. V'yeshu choshud al ha'ta'arot, ve'eno choshud lo al zeh v'lo al zeh. And there are practices, and someone who doesn't keep these extra laws of chaveilut, but nevertheless is not suspected of violating the laws of Shemitah or the laws of Maaseh. Zeh haklal, the Mishnah adds, hachashur al hadavar, if someone is suspected himself of violating a particular prohibition, lo dano v'lo mo yido. He cannot be a judge in that type of a case. He's disqualified from being a judge, and he is disqualified from being a witness. Amar Rabba Rabba Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Dibri Rabbi Akiva Stimta. This Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva. Aval Chachamim Amrim Chashur Al HaMaaseh Chashur Al HaShviyit. The Chachamim are of opinion that if someone is suspected of violating the Masa laws, he is probably also not going to be particularly observant about Shemitah or vice versa. So, mind Chachamim Rabbi Meir, he, the Amar Chashud L'davar Echad, Havi Chashud L'chol HaTorah Kula. Rabbi Yonah v'Rabbi Yirum Ya Talmidei Rabbi Ze'eva, v'amur elei Rabbi Yonah v'Rabbi Ze'eva Talmidei V'chanim, Chachamim Rabbi Chachamim Amu Chashud Al Ashvi'id, Chashud Al Maaseh, Ma Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda. בחרם החשוד על המעשה החשוד על השביעית ומה חכמים רבי מאיר תניה עם הארץ שקיבל עליו דברי חברות if someone decided to join up with the strict party become more firm and take the oath so to speak take the obligations of becoming a chaver now you saw him doing something that wasn't so particularly okay. He is suspect for everything. A geir shekibel alav divrei Torah, a geir who's converted, afilu nechshad ledavar echad, havi chashud l'chol haTorah kula, ba'areihu ki Yisrael mumah. Nafkamina di'ikadish kidushav kidushin. Okay, so up until now, this whole discussion is revolving around the laws of reliability, whether a person is to be trusted. If you see him doing something suspect, how far do you extend the suspicion? Now we come into something which is related, but not the same story. Suppose someone decides that he wants to become a chaver, but he finds that all of the laws of being a chaver are a little too hard for him. There's one particular rule which he finds a little onerous. Therefore, he'll decide that he'll be an ordinary Jew for that one particular law, but would like to be counted as a chaver for all of the other extra special laws of concern. Ein mekablim oto.
All?
That's right. If he wants to be, either you join up or you don't join up. You can't volunteer for the army and decide that you're going to take every weekend off. That's the principle. That's right.
Ein
mekablim oto as a chaver.
What is a chaver in this case?
Remember, the chaver is a people who accepted to abide by the laws of Tumah and Tahara, and therefore are trusted when it comes to the laws of Tumah and Tahara.
Higher element.
Higher element, right. But now, sort of as an adjunct to this, or as an extension of it, the Gemara says, Oved kochavim sheba lekabel divrei Torah chutz midavar echad. Suppose you have an example like Mr. Weinstein's of a convert who says, look, I have a good Jewish friend and he does eat in the Chinese restaurant once in a while and has some shrimp. I'm willing to become a good Jew except I don't want to give up on the shrimp cocktail. Right. So the Gemara says, ein mekablim oto. So the underlying principle here, of course, is political, right? I mean, once the potential chaver or the potential Jew decides that he's going to rewrite the rules, then you can't accept him under those grounds. If he makes a political statement, I'm willing to be a Jew, but I want to change one of the rules here, you can't do it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, afilu diktuk echad midivrei sofrim. That even if he doesn't like one of the particular laws in the Rabbana, he's willing to do everything, but this issue of eating hard cheese is maybe a little bit too difficult for him, or whatever your favorite issue of the Rabbana happens to be, he decides to reject. You don't accept him under those grounds. So this looks like a very strict ruling in response to your question. But of course, it's not 100% clear from here what's going on, because this is when the issue has been raised as a political issue. Right? You know, I don't know what the laws are. There's some lawyers here. What's involved with becoming a citizen of the United States? I assume that you have to agree to obey the Constitution, but what about the laws?
And the laws.
But presumably you don't have to know what the laws are. And so therefore, presumably, if you say that I'm going to obey the Constitution and all the laws except this particular one, then you're going to put yourself in an exceptional situation. And presumably, the immigration would not be construed as valid. So I think we have to take this in this framework. The reason that I'm saying this is that there's another Gemara that we have to deal with that is, again, an aside, but gives us a completely different picture. And that, again, so this is on my page 12. a selection from Masechet Shabbos also that we learned when we studied Masechet Shabbos many, many years ago, but in a different context. The Gemara here is also not discussing the issue of Galim at all. It's discussing the issue of when a person is liable for a Kovan Chattas. What constitutes a negligent act? In other words, we know that if you're an ordinary Jew and you slept through all of Friday and you wake up on Shabbos and you think it's Friday and you go to work, then presumably you're negligent and you're not liable for skila, as Mr. Weinstein would say. You won't get it anyway, but in the time of the Beis HaMikdash you would be liable for a Korban Chatas. Or, for example, if you know it's Shabbos and you've forgotten that you're not allowed to write on Shabbos, the law, the prohibition of one particular malacha has escaped you. You knew it, you should have known it, and for some reason or other you forgot, and you wrote a letter to the editor.
Signed the check.
And you signed the check on Shabbos. Okay? So then you're hired for Korban Chatas. That's considered a negligent act for which you're liable. But what about a person who is you just never learned any of this? Are you not considered, is ignorance of the law, there's a famous legal dictum that ignorance of the law is no excuse, but it may be no excuse, but are you liable for the Korban Chatas if you were in a situation where you had no way of knowing these laws? And the Gemara gives two illustrations. Itmar Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, the Amut Ravayu, Afilu Tinok Shenishba Bein Hanachrim, the Ger Shenitgayel Bein Hanachrim, Ki Hikiru L'Sof Shachach Dami V'Chaya. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lokish, Adi Amut Ravayu, Dafka Hikiru L'Sof Shachach, Aval Tinok Shenishba Bein Hanachrim, So there's a dispute between the authorities as to whether someone who had never any opportunity of knowing these laws, whether he is liable for a korban or not. But the Gemara gives two illustrations of this principle. One, we understand. The Jewish child was taken into captivity. He's Jewish by birth, but he was brought up in a Catholic monastery. The child was in World War II. Taken in the Nazis, he was brought up as a Catholic, had no way of knowing any of these things. He comes back and discovers his Jewish roots and his Jewish origins, and he comes back to Judaism. Is he, in some sense, liable to bring a Korban Chatas? Does he have to feel guilty for acts in which he were never under his control? So that scenario we understand. But the Gemara mentions another scenario. Ger shenit gayer levein hanachim. According to the Gemara, then, it's conceivable that someone became converted to Judaism in a completely non-Jewish surrounding where he never learned about the laws of Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't question the existence of this possibility, but you see that the Gemara is raising the possibility that a person could have been converted with never having... Right?
Or maybe converted under reform auspices.
He has a bet in, so how could
what if he's converted under reform auspices and he doesn't know?
Maybe.
Well, I don't. Let's suppose there was a bet. Let's suppose that there were three Jews who came by and said, "Why don't you like the traveling salesman we saw last week?" Who came by, but the lenient traveling salesman, right? We had two traveling salesmen who visited Ariadne last week. One who was a little firmer than the other. But the first one that came by, and he espouses the principles of Judaism, he doesn't mention Shabbos at all. There are three of them around. The guy is eager to convert to Judaism on the basis of what he's heard. There was circumcision, there was a bris milah.
And he said, "You're all right, forget about circumcision."
That was the case there. But now by the time of the Gemara, you can't forget about circumcision. Yeah. That was his opinion. Yeah. Chazal say, and we'll see it in a little more detail when we study Masechet Gerim in a minute, that you need to have both circumcision and tefillah in the mikvah. So let's agree that these two acts have taken place. But the Gemara here is envisaging a situation where these two acts have taken place in a surrounding where this guy never heard of the laws of Shabbos. Right? Pretty strange to us. But nevertheless, it's envisaged here. So we see from this Gemara that if this issue has not been raised, we're not recommending that you convert a non-Jew who, without telling him about the laws of Shabbos, or that you should accept that form of convert, but nevertheless, the Gemara is indicating that that form of conversion is valid. It's conceivable that you can have a conversion taking place in a completely non-Jewish surrounding where all the technical demands, the formalities of the conversion have taken place, but this guy who has now been converted into a Jew never heard of the laws of Shabbos. That's clear from the Gemara. It's not anything that I'm reading into it. The Rishonim, in dealing in the Gemara that we got started on here in the first place, remember we got into this subject from the Gemara in Ksuvos, which discusses the issue of conversion of a minor. The Gemara says that Beis Din can, under certain circumstances, convert a minor, a katan, and he will become a full-fledged Jew. The only option is that he has the right, under the circumstances described by the Gemara, he has the right to reject this when he reaches majority. But if he doesn't reject this, if he takes no formal action of protest when he reaches the age of 13, then the conversion that took place when he was 5 or 6 years old, or maybe even 3 or 4 years old, or when we'll see from Maseches gave him even earlier, this conversion that took place when he was an infant or a small child is valid. Now, no one is making... Now, if we're thinking, and maybe this is the way we're trained to think, that conversion is some form of a contract, someone obligates himself to become part of the Jewish people, like taking an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States, then presumably a minor is incapable of making that step. It's quite possible that you can perform Brit Milah, and we do it to our children at age 8 days, and we have no say in the matter, and we also can dip him in the mikvah. But how can we give him the mental capacity to agree to some commitment when he's simply a minor and incapable of that? The Ritva says something, and the Shita Mekubetzah says something, and let's see what they have to say. Ritva says, Af al gav, the ger ba'alma be'iran sheyodiyuhu kalot v'chamulot, even though in general there's a requirement to let the ger know some of the simple laws and some of the more complicated laws, hahu l'mitzvah, v'lo la'akev. That's only a demand l'chadchila. It's something that we should try to do. But if it's impossible to do it, it doesn't prevent the conversion from taking place. Since this is a minor who's incapable of understanding what you're trying to explain to him, eino ma'akev. So we see that this notion of hoda'at mitzvot kalot v'chamurot is not a sine qua non for the conversion process. A person can be converted to Judaism without being told all of the laws of Shabbat, for example, or any of the laws, because he's a minor.
Would this come under mitzvah, say, and not sri-kot kavanah?
Well,
this is a mitzvah, isn't it?
Why? There's no mitzvah on the ger to convert.
He's not a Jew yet.
So what we see from this is that the Ritva, in any event, is putting a premium on the formal technicalities, but not on the inner content of this particular process. You're saying that you don't have to, as long as the formalities were met, even though this was a person who's incapable of mentation, incapable of this kind of agreement, it's valid. And the Shita Yoshana quoted by the Shita Mekubetzah is even more striking in this direction. The Afal Gav the Tzorich Kabbalah, even though there is a requirement that the Geir accept the basic principles of Judaism, that he accepts what you're telling him, Hani Mila Hecha de Efsha. That's where it's possible. Aval B'Katan Lo Efsha. In the case of a minor, it's not possible to do this, and therefore the conversion is valid even though the minor is incapable of agreeing to anything. Now, this is not an abstract question. I mean, with the current problems arising with adoptions, for example, of non-Jewish children into Jewish families, this is a modern, everyday problem. This is not some theoretical construct. It's conceivable that for the Ritva and for the Shita Mekubetzah, this was a theoretical discussion. It's quite likely that in their time there were very few, if any, conversions at all, and maybe very few, if any, conversions of minors. So the Ritva and the Shita Mekubetzah were simply trying to understand the Gemara, and we're not dealing with this as a real-life problem, and therefore we may have to be a little bit hesitant in taking their opinion, which was expressed in a theoretical setting, and giving it a binding application, but nevertheless it's striking that both for the Ritva and for the Shita Mekubetzes, the Hodas mitzvos and Kabbalas, all mitzvos, are not part of the requirements of conversion. So what's left, in fact? What is the conversion actually consist of? Well, that's a little difficult for us to swallow, right? I mean, to take a contract and say that the only content is the purely formal aspect is a little difficult to offer us to accept.
Let that time in the majority, the acceptance of that time.
Yeah, but that's he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to accept anything.
He just
doesn't have to refuse. By that time, you know, he's playing ball, right? He's not a minor, he's not in a crib anymore, but he's out playing ball with his friends and he's 13 years old and he didn't go to that local registry office to protest. I mean, that's what's involved here.
So they come down as encouraging conversion.
Yes.
What's
more troublesome here is that we're going to have to eventually, we'll not resolve the problem that Mr. Weinstein raised, but we're going to have to deal with it. In other words, what is exactly the intentional factor that's required in the case of a conversion? And we have two extremes. On the one extreme, we have the Gemara in Bechoros that says that if the convert says that he doesn't like waiting 6 hours after meat to eat milk or what have you, that you don't accept him. And on the other hand, you have the Ritva and the Shita Mekubetzes here saying that he doesn't have to accept anything. Neither of these is particularly pleasant to live with, but these are the two extremes, and of course there's a huge range between.
But there was a slight distinction in that. The first issue was where he said as a condition in advance.
That's right. So therefore we can say that...
implying that once he's already a Jew, then he can do whatever he wishes and he can't be expelled.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. I would say that if he's stating condition in advance, then he's raising this as an issue, and once he raises it as an issue, we don't want it.
Yeah, but suppose he goes in quietly.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem that we have to deal with. Okay, now, all of this Gemara in Yevamos, which was the central Gemara dealing with the laws of conversion, really was a commentary on some brisa. And we have a version of all of these brisas in the form of what are known as the Masechtos Ketanos. There are certain small collections of Masechtot that never really made it as a Masechet in the Mishnah, and they never really made it into the Gemara, but were apparently around during the time of the Gemara. For a brief history of that, of all of these seven Masechtos, for example, I Xeroxed the first few pages in English of Higger's scholarly edition of these Masechtos. I won't read them to you. You can read them yourself. But to get some idea of what these Masechtos actually are, where they're from, and when they were finally edited, you can read that on your own time. Let's read through most of Masechet Kevi. There's some things in there which are interesting. It's like a brisa. It's not part of the Mishnah, it's not an officially part of the Gemara, it was some collection of halachos which the Amoraim, or at least some of them, have. We don't know when they have them, but it's apparently some collection of brisos which have been known as Masechtos Ketanos. So let's read most, if not all, of Masechet Gerim. On my page 16. Harotzeh lehitgayer. If someone wants to convert, ein mekablim oto miyad, you don't accept him immediately. Ela omrim lo malacha litgayer. Va'reya tavo'eta uma hazot nemucha usnufa mikal haumot v'chala'im radim v'yisurim b'im aleihem v'kovrim b'neihem v'vanim v'vanim v'neharagim al hamila v'al hatvila v'al shar kol ha-mitzvot. The Jews are an oppressed nation. We can't even practice our religion openly, but we have to do it secretly. If he accepts all of this, Hovidu leveita tfila, presumably this is talking after there's already been a brit milah. Hovidu leveita tfila, v'kisu b'mayim ad makom ha'erva. And you, he's standing in the mikvah here up to his navel. Amrimlo miktzatik duke mitzvot. Now you, while he's standing in the mikvah, you tell him a few of the laws of the mitzvot. Amanat sheyehe noten leleket shekho b'feyav u'maaser. You especially emphasize the charitable aspects of obligations of being a Jew. All of this while he's standing in the water. ובכשם שאומרים לאיש כך אומרים לאישה על מנת שתהי זהירה בנידה ובחלל בהדלקת הנר. טבל ועלה, once after he's gone to the mikvah and come up, אומרים לו דברים טובים, דברים של ניחומים. Afterwards, after he's made the decision, you sort of tell him some things that make him feel good about it. במין הדבקת אשריך במי שאמר והיה העולם ברוך הוא שלא נברא העולם אלא בשביל ישראל ולא נקרו בני בנים למקום אלא ישראל. In other words, you're telling him all how hard it is to be a Jew before, and now after he's made the decision you tell him how wonderful it is. ואין חביבים לפני מקום אלא ישראל וכל אותם הדברים שאמרנו לך לא אמרנו אלא להרבות שכריך. All of these things that we're telling you before, when we were trying to dissuade you, was only to increase your reward when you made the positive decision of becoming a Jew. Ger shamal v'lo taval, taval v'lo mal, hakol halechacha hamila divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the salt, the main ingredient in the Brit, in the Gehut is the Brit Milah. The Tevilah is only